Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. Please bookmark that website. Follow us on Rumble. Please subscribe to our video page on Rumble and subscribe to us on Brighteon. No YouTube. No. They're dead to us. They're dead to us. You know, we've got the plaque, have the T-shirt. Been there, done that. Thank you very much. God bless you. Wallow in your communist crap. It is Tuesday, April 20th, 420. Apparently that means something, according to Eric the Tech. April 20th, 2021. I guess I'm just too old-fashioned. I don't know, behind the times. You know what I mean, folks. All right. It is April 20th, 2021. you're laughing. You're laughing. I feel old. I do. All right. Apparently you kids go out and have fun. All right. With me, I got a great show for you lined up, but with me is Randy Taylor. We're going to be walking through some stuff together, delivering you some pretty hard news, impactful news. And you know, what we're seeing today, as I said yesterday, and I really mean this, the events today are rooted in the past. By the way, our two standeos coming back. So I know that so many people have been sending emails to me and saying, hey, is standeo okay? He's A-okay. So he's going to be back today. As like 56 volcanoes going off simultaneously all over the globe, storms and such. So stay tuned for standeo. But in the meantime, let's play clip one again. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. These are very short, brief clips. And then Randy Taylor is going to join me. Clip one. Or not.
At least 20 to 30 young people throwing rocks. You can hear them impacting against cars and against trucks. I haven't seen any police officers coming here. Only police.
Remember this, folks?
For the blacks.
The only thing that's changed.
This scene has really gone crazy out here right now.
There's a reference to a sign for those listening.
Police officers coming here. Only police.
All right, that's April of 1992. You get it. It's looping back through. You can cut that down. All right, let's move very quickly to clip two. And I do this to Eric the Tech all the time. He's like, hey, you got to give me a minute because we have to cycle it through. So, again, you're listening to the Hagman Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Clip two. Go ahead. Post-riot scenario. South Central LA. Let's see if you spot anyone you know.
SSI checks are ready, and what's going to happen is they're probably going to let some of the people with SSI checks getting them first. So we need some cooperation here, and that means that some people can just move and take them with
Now, that's what that scene is. Just add context to that is, of course, post riots, those are the, what happened was the mail service was disrupted because of the riots in South Central Los Angeles, where the riots were based. And of course, you know, not wanting to get shot, you know, hit with a brick or whatever. So it disrupted the delivery of welfare checks. So what you saw there was a group of people who some engaged in the riots, some did not, waiting for their welfare checks post riot. Kind of an apocalyptic scenario, at least at that time. But what do we see today? All right. So we're going to be seeing the same thing. Maxine Waters, you know, the loudmouth megaphone Maxine, called back in that day, called the L.A. riots acceptable, defending some looting. And now she's back today, of course, doing the same thing. Now, one thing I want to mention is Maxine Waters is part of a group called the Congressional Black Caucus. Folks, if you don't know what the Congressional Black Caucus is, you have to understand it's a group of socialists, at the very minimum, communists, beyond that, the Congressional Black Caucus. It is an entity within our Congress, and it's a very, very well-organized group of congressional representatives who adhere to and advance the socialistic cause. Randy Taylor, come on in. Let's talk. How you doing, sir?
I am absolutely doing wonderful today. How are you, sir?
Hey, you're looking spiffy.
Well, hey, I threw on the old sport coat, all dressed up, nowhere to go. So I thought I'd go see Doug Hagman today.
Yeah. So,
you know, the only thing I see different in the videos from 1992 to 2021 is that the televisions are lighter and easier to carry.
Yeah. Gas and cigarettes more expensive, but exactly.
Nothing says social justice like a stolen TV set, my friend.
You know, right. And I will double down on my statement because I got some hate mail. In fact, I got some hate mail from some left wing organizations as well. You know, the looting does not, apparently, the safest place to be anywhere across the country, especially in Minneapolis, would be at a bookstore or, you know, in the Father's Day card aisle at the card store.
Oh, yeah, or where they sell work boots.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, and, you know, it's not racist because you're looking at both black and white. You're looking at all races involved in this. It's just a matter of fact.
Yeah, and look at the TV all day long during the work day. These people are in the streets. It's like, you got to be staying home with mommy and daddy because you're certainly not out working. And I doubt you asked your boss for vacation time, you know, because of the riots.
Right. And you know, you and I had a conversation off air, and a lot of people are sending emails and such. I want to just, before I move away from Maxine Waters, of course, you know, the Alan Dershowitz, yeah, that guy,
yes. go ahead, Dershowitz, we got it.
Let's say it with me now, Dershowitz.
All together now.
Man, some days I can't even. I'll work on my letters and colors tomorrow. But he said that her tactics borrowed precisely from the KKK, which it's rather interesting when you look at the with the Klan. And this is a Breitbart headline. Dershowitz, Maxine Waters tactics borrowed precisely from the Ku Klux Klan. And when you go through it, okay, and you look historically back, you can see that the very tactics and the golden thread through this, throughout history, is the communist infiltration, the communist golden mm-hmm. thread. That's what, but we were talking off air, and this is probably what most people want to know. We have a dysfunctional or non-functional government. Our AG, Merrick Garland, my God, you know, I want to rip my hair out. You've got an unelected, resident in the White House. You've got a do-nothing Congress. You've got a do-nothing Department of Justice. You got the, FBI into those people, you know, I've got some acronyms I cannot say on air for FBI,
but FSB is one of them.
FSB.
I just like the Russian FSB.
Yeah.
Political arm now.
Well, exactly. So, you know, here's the thing, all right? If, and I've watched my, fill of videos too, but, I'm not sure. Maybe we should do one more because it's a short one. Let me just make sure I've got this one. Because this will launch.
Before we
go ahead.
Okay. Before we drift off of Maximilian Waters.
Yeah.
The one thing I definitely, that I liked that I saw was, the judge, Peter Cahill.
Yes. Yes.
That's presiding. He said, Maxine Waters, okay, is disrespectful to the rule of law.
Well,
he called her out.
You know, how, and, but so friggin' what? Okay, and I don't mean that to you, but
I was just surprised that a judge, given the environment and what we've seen with judges today, which is shameful, I was just glad that he called her out.
You know, I got to tell you something. I am too.
Is it pointless? Yes, yes, and it is. It's just words, but at least, and it's a black judge.
No,
called her out.
You're not in the, he's not, no, Cahill's not, he's, no, you're thinking of,
I know who you're thinking of.
Yeah, that's all right. That's right.
The thing is, she's being called out. She's being called out by that lady in, what's her name? Congress.
Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
That one's got guts.
Yes, she does.
I like that. I like that lady. We need more of her and that Boebert.
Lauren Boebert.
Those women are doing a phenomenal job. Often they are the voice in the wilderness that people just don't seem to hear. But you know what? Those women are dedicated to this country, dedicated to the people of this country. And Maxine Waters, I don't understand, because if you look at Maxine Waters.
Oh my gosh. I just, that just, that,
sorry.
Sorry, folks.
Maxine Waters, you look at Maxine Waters and what she's doing as far as insurrection, she is doing far worse than what they were wanting to impeach Donald Trump for after his presidency. On the 6th.
Yes, yes. Well,
think about it. I mean, she's directly calling out where Trump's at best were, in my opinion, misinterpreted by the press and misinterpreted by lawmakers.
Oh, there was no misinterpretation. There was the deliberate deception there by the media, by the legacy media.
But a misinterpretation just the same. They misinterpret it to fit their narrative.
Yes. Misinterpretation, though. Let's be careful of their words. That, to me, that sounds like, well, you know, misinterpretation. I kind of made a mistake. No, that was a deliberate act by the mainstream legacy piece of crap media, by the stelters, you know, squealing stelters of the world to take down President Trump. And Maxine Waters gets a pass. 82 years old. She's out there with a megaphone strapped to her lips. What's wrong with this picture?
And didn't you tell me this morning on the phone, 16 terms?
Yes, 16 terms, 82 years old.
Wow. Okay. What is wrong with those people? California is that fault line. Hopefully one of these days pays off out there.
Yeah, that's you're absolutely so right. Let's do this. Okay. So because this leads me into, because folks, we're going to answer your emails. Okay. I don't know how we're going to answer them collectively, because I'm getting emails saying, what do we do? So with those two clips, that was 92. Yesterday we saw some stuff from 67. This was 92. Nothing's changed. Now let's go to today. This is only, this is from band.video. This is only a minute 30, from band.video. And then from there, we'll address the folks. How's that? All right. Sound good? All right, let's go play the run clip 3.
So now as I protest, I cannot write on signs any larger. I cannot march any farther. I cannot raise my fist any higher. I cannot raise my voice any louder. I cannot be any more peaceful. I'm sorry that I'm a threat to you. I've seen a small ripple turn into a wave, a tsunami, a hurricane of a movement that has since traveled throughout the world. The power that we have is immeasurable. And this movement has made its way to your front door, and we are no longer not. We are demanding entrance, and we are not taking no for an answer. Going back is not an option. No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
I am no longer sub. I am unapologetic. When it comes to my liberation, I am unapologetic. We are unapologetic. Because if George don't get it,
burn it down.
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 George don't get it.
All right, Nancy, it's time. It's even cut off the last. It, demanding entrance through our front door, burning it down. And there was a church in Minneapolis that burnt down. Origins unknown. We have to keep our eyes on that. It's a Christian church that burnt down, a very historic building. So that leads me to this, Randy Taylor. You and I had an off-air conversation. And people are writing us, writing you, writing me, writing the show, saying, well, what are we going to do? You know, right now we're on the cusp, regardless of what happens. And I'll just set this up and I'll let you go. We're at the cusp of some pretty ugly things happening here. And I believe this is a manufactured racial divide. It's manufactured by a communist thread, and we'll get into that later. But the end is to divide us, to make us more supple for extra outside invasion, as is the southern border. This is all interwoven, interconnected. So, but our discussion earlier. People want to know, well, what can I do? What can I do? How can I fight this? Now, I'm going to say this, all right? My car has no reverse. I don't stop for protesters. Okay, to me, they're speed bumps. I'm old enough. I'll spend the rest of my life in jail. I don't care, all right? They come to my front door. They want to burn my place down. I've done nothing to these people. Okay, they want to hurt my business. They come to my front door. They want to mess with my home and property, my wife, my dog, my family. Ain't happening. Okay. I'll ventilate them. All right. Simple as that. Okay. I'll stack them up like cordwood on the next to my garage. But that's me in a defensive posture. All right. Now, what can the average person do? You and I had this discussion. How can we fight this? How can we fight all these stuff? You know, if you and I fight back, we're going to jail, right? You know that. If we say, don't come in. And if we so much as push them off of our, you know, away from our porch, we're going to jail because, you know, we're the aggressors. It's all upside down and backwards, but I don't care because I'm not letting people through my door. I'm not letting people burn my stuff down, take my stuff, set my car on fire. I'm not letting the stelters of the world tell me what, you know, that I'm a racist. I'm not letting the CNNs of the world, lecture me on systemic racism. This country has gone absolutely pathetically cuckolded to this false narrative that's based on communist infiltration. So what do we do? And I'm going to put this on your lap now. What do we do? You called me, same thing. What do we do?
Oh,
Randy Taylor.
That's a very good question, my friend. But I think what it's going to boil down to is what we've talked about many times. This has to start at local level. Okay. This is a multi-pronged thing. There is no one perfect answer. I'm not even going to attempt to give you one perfect answer because I don't have one for you. I do know this. We need to do something collectively as well as individually now. Okay. We're on that precipice. We are standing there looking into the abyss. And we've had this discussion several times. I 100% agree with Doug. As an individual, you got to stand your ground. Plain and simple, people are writing to me constantly emails. What do we do? What should we do? What do I tell my kids? What do we do next? Where are we going? I don't have control over all the patriots in the United States. If I did this, that would be a much easier question to answer. Okay. We're not even collectively organized. In my humble opinion, we're not as collectively organized as well as the left is collectively organized. And if I'm wrong, prove me wrong. They have got their act together as far as this dissension. They've got the backup they need in the courts and in the legislative houses. It's a stacked deck. I mean, if Maxine Waters can stand out there and do what she's doing.
With impunity.
With not a word, really not a word even being said. In fact, when you look at the way the media spins it, they support her. This is ridiculous where Trump or anybody says anything. They're immediately labeled as insurrectionist, terrorist, white supremacist. Every name that, folks, things are out of hand. Things, we have lost control of this country. Absolutely lost control. Chris Cuomo on CNN saying that, what do you say? Police reform won't happen until white kids start getting killed. This entire racist thing is so manufactured. People are going to die over stupid comments like that.
I was in a bad mood before you mentioned that. I don't mean to overtalk you. I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up. Folks, if you didn't see that on CNN, what a condescending son of a gun that guy is. Okay. Condescending. It's just beyond anything.
In fact, I'm firing that to Eric right now.
All right. Yeah. I had it on the playlist as a clip and I'll just
throw it to him now. And when you pull it up, Eric, let me know. Cause people really need to see, and that's from the Independent. But the point is it's a clip from CNN. You can't change what was said.
No.
Okay. And imagine just for one second, let's take a guy, Jim Jordan. Or Matthew Gaetz. All right, let's just for one second. If he got up and said, things aren't going to change until some black children are killed. Man, can you even begin to imagine the fallout from that?
Let's compare apples to apples here. It would be Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson. Okay.
Okay. Let's stay in the media. Right. Okay. Let's just say Tucker Carlson said it.
Yeah.
Okay. They would want to hang him from the nearest tree. I mean, they would just be blasting him 24 hours a day. Oh, you couldn't even. But let one of the talking heads of CNN say it, and it's okay.
But
and when you throw this into that big bucket of garbage that comes out of Chris Cuomo's mouth all the time, ever since Trump took office, he's been out of hand.
Yep.
Okay. Honestly, before Trump took office, I didn't really pay much attention to the guy. And then after Donald Trump took office, Cuomo just went berserk. He went, I mean, just completely off the deep end, and everything out of his mouth is pure propaganda. And, you know, between him and that Don Lemon and that whole CNN gang spin doctors, I guess we'll call them, because I'm not going to curse here on the air. But these people are unbelievable. And you look at Cuomo and just look at his brother and what he's done. This is nuts. What we're accepting, what people are accepting as norms, I guess is the point I'm trying to make. That it's like, okay, oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, and this guy says this on CNN and it doesn't get a bleep out of anybody. But let someone from the conservative side, somebody on the right, say what Cuomo said, and we'd have a problem. There would be riots over that. If you think about it, I mean, things are totally out of hand here. And people who are talking about what to do, listen, you've got to get busy. You've got everybody. You know what to do.
Well,
pray for guidance. I can't send you a guide. I can't send you a training video and say this is what you should do.
I'm deliberately not. You know, I'm listening. I'm deliberately not saying anything because anything that comes out of my mouth at this point would be counterproductive. But
Go ahead.
You know, no, because people are looking, you know, we kind of have
for
a
guidance.
Tough. Yeah, it's kind of tough for Christian conservatives who are law abiding for our entire lives. You know, we might have what you speed, you get a parking ticket, but you know, or do we have a criminal? No, we don't have criminal records. We don't go out and bust things and set things on fire, and you know, we don't do that. We're too kind. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe we are too nice.
I think that's a lot of it is that we are law abiding. So you say we are law abiding, and that is a huge difference right there. I'm not going to go down and burn a 7-Eleven to prove a point.
No.
I can't even think of a point that I would be trying to prove that would warrant the burning of a 7-Eleven. You know what I mean? I can't equate it. I never understood the riots.
Or a dumpster.
I grew up in Detroit in the late 60s, just south of Detroit. And I remember staying home from school. We couldn't go to school because they said the blacks said they were going to go into the suburbs and kill white children. And so we didn't go to school for like a month. We had like 9 families staying at our house from Detroit, from the inner city, from our church. And I guess the one thing, even as a small little guy, the one thing I didn't understand is, okay, I'm mad as a black person. So the way I'm going to teach you is burn down my house, burn down my grocery store, burn down the post office, burn down the liquor store, and shoot other black people in the street. That'll teach you. You know what I mean? You have to sit back and scratch your head and go, because I never understood that, destroying their neighborhoods.
You know,
I don't get it.
And there is an argument there. Let them go. Let them go. Let them destroy their own neighborhoods. But the problem, though, is we're the ones that rebuild those neighborhoods, right? But go ahead.
Yeah, you got to pay for it. I understand police departments letting people take frustration out. And in fact, I noticed this in different cities. What they will do is they will take an old abandoned police car. If they know there's going to be trouble, they'll take an old abandoned police car and park them at different places in the city. A little ways away from buildings. You always notice they're a little ways away from buildings. Because, and there's no radios in them or anything. They're just empty police cars. They were probably towed there. But they leave them on the street because when the riots start, the people take their wrath out on the police cars. And they're set up police cars. I don't care what anybody says. You got to look. They're set up. It happens all the time. Every time there's riots, look, and they're tearing up police cars. Those police cars were set out there.
You're giving away the plot here.
I'm giving away trade secrets here. But you see what I'm saying? It's like they can predict. They know, like this Chauvin trial, they know what's going to happen. What I don't understand is this Minneapolis or whatever. Why does it not look like Fort Knox right now?
Well,
with military.
The around the courthouse. All right.
That's the whole city. Lock it down. Lock it down.
But I've never, okay, Minneapolis right now looks like a third world area. It really does. Okay. I've seen so many videos.
Oh, you mean it looks like our, down around our DC capital?
Yeah, it does, actually. it's crazy how so around the Hennepin County Courthouse, there's double fencing, there's barbed wire, you know, folks, I mean, there's National Guard,
but there's not enough.
Well, I don't think anyone's getting in that courthouse. Okay. I just don't. But, so I'd like to be in the plywood business right now in Minneapolis.
yeah, no kidding. or the gasoline business.
or the canned soup, selling canned soup, cans of soup. Yeah. And did you notice that we played that clip last time we were on, that guy saying, held up the soup at that CNN reporter. Yeah, getting soup for my family. Donald Trump was excoriated for saying, you know, they're throwing cans of soup, these rioters. And he was made fun of. Saying that by the media, but yet that's exactly what they're doing.
Yes. It's bizarre. The double standard. When you look at it, you almost scratch your head and you're like, I'm not really seeing this. I don't understand how you explain it to your kids. that are watching this, because kids aren't stupid. Kids are not stupid.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You take an 8, 9, or 10 year old. That's a pretty bright little creature. Yep. Because they look at things simplistically.
Yeah.
2 and 2 needs to equal 4. If it doesn't, there's questions, and guess who they're going to come and ask the questions of? Okay. But they're watching this, and the questions I get all the time are valid questions, because it's questioning the double standard. Now, if it's obvious, in my case, to a 12-year-old, it should be obvious to every adult on the planet.
Yep.
But for some reason, it's not.
Well,
Go ahead, buddy. It's just perplexed. We had a perplexing phone call this morning, you and I did.
Right.
It was one of the most bizarre phone calls Doug and I have ever had, because we're both sitting here going, what do we do?
What do we do? And people are looking at us for, you know, for guidance, a little bit of guidance.
And folks, people do come to us for that, and they ask these questions, and that's a huge responsibility. It really is.
I'm to the point where we just have to take care of our own, Randy Taylor. We have to take care of our own at this point.
It's scary, because we don't ever want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to say be civilly disobedient and you go out in the street and get hit in the head with a brick. I don't want that on my conscience. But listen, individually, you can make those decisions. Please. You've got to safeguard yourself the right. It starts at home. Okay. First of all, teach your children the right things in this case. Teach them about the Constitution, the government, the way things are supposed to be. Okay. Then talk to a neighbor. Start getting people on board. And we've covered this.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times we've covered this. And then I always get some smart Alexi go back and go, well, why don't you, go after city council and send us a video of how you do it. And my job. Okay. I don't have time. I really don't. I don't have the time. Okay. Now, if it gets thrown up in my face, I will do it. I'm here with you. I obviously spend hours every week fighting for the cause.
Okay, right. Everybody. And I think it's a little unfair. Those accusations.
Those emails. Yeah. It's like we said, in a war, some people have to peel potatoes. Yeah. In a war, some people have to drive the tanks. In a war, some people have to carry water. Other people have to fire weapons. Everybody has a part. Okay. Please don't try and designate to Doug and I what our parts are. We know what our parts are. Okay. God's put this upon our hearts to be here with you.
Exactly.
Okay. And please take some initiative and some responsibility. And I'm not telling you to go out there and grab an AK-47 and go clear or something. One, be very careful when you start talking about violence, and I'll tell you why. You're probably going to be all by yourself. If you can't get people together to march down to a city hall meeting, you're not going to get a bunch of people together to go solve anything with weapons. Okay?
And the other side knows that.
Exactly. Right. And that's not the answer. People are talking about, oh, that's it, I've had it. I'm loading up my weapons and I'm going to Washington.
Okay.
To do what?
We've been down that road before too. Well,
what is there? Is there a duck hunting something? Yeah. Look what happened when a whole bunch of people not armed went to Washington. Okay.
And you know something? And this came up in this conversation you and I had today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's my opinion, and I'm going to get flack on this, but it's my opinion that we did not go far enough on January 6th. Now, here we go. I believe that the Christian conservatives did not push that far enough. Now, I'm not talking about going into the Capitol and causing all sorts of mayhem, breaking windows. That wasn't the Christian conservative. That wasn't the conservatives. That was an element that was confused.
Bingo. That wasn't even us.
I'm talking about going in peaceably and sitting down in the public area of the chambers and say, come on, you know, go ahead and let's, you know,
do your stuff,
you know, in the chain, or do your politicking there, and let's have it on the table, and have, you know, 250,000 people behind you. But let's have transparency on this issue. But you know, as soon as the violence started, that was the end of everything productive. You know, right. So anyway.
In fact, there's a good takeaway from that too, Doug. Sixth was a great training module for Patriot get-togethers where you're going to go protest, is when you see the people starting to disrupt and break things and all, and you don't wait for the cops to take care of it. Get them under control and get them out of there. They're hurting the cause. They hurt what we're doing.
If they're on your team, but if they're infiltrating into your team.
No, that's what I'm saying. Team, well, right. Even from another team. Well,
at that point, you're going to have to physically restrain someone.
Oh, yeah. I'm with that. I don't have a problem with that.
I'm but okay.
The point is, on the 6th, we should have known. They should have been a little better prepared. I know we had discussions internally. We had some discussions here on the show that there were going to be agitators. We knew there were going to be. We referred to them as professional provocateurs. Right. I remember putting it in writing, in emails back and forth with Doug and I and different people. We knew there were going to be professional provocateurs. We didn't do enough to stop it. Okay.
And we had these emails with Sam Andrews and or communications with Sam Andrews. And you know, what do we get for this? FBI visits saying, okay, you know, you're conspiring to, were you conspiring to, you know, get out of here. You know, get out of here. Just go.
I know individually though, we've got to draw some lines on the sand and say, don't cross these lines. And the point is, you know what? If you cross a line with me that infringes on my rights, I'll go to jail.
Yeah.
I just listen to, and I'm not recommending this to anyone. This is not the Hagman Report saying this. I'm telling you, Randy Taylor personally, okay? These are my rights. I fought for these rights. People before me fought for these rights. I feel that God gave me these rights. Don't cross that line.
Thank you.
Here's the point. I'm willing to go to jail if I have to, over that line.
I'm right there with you.
And I know you are. And I absolutely know that without a shadow of a doubt. I know a lot of people in this world. One thing I know is Doug Hagman. Okay? And if I had to have somebody to share a foxhole with, I'll share a foxhole with Doug Hagman. Okay?
And back at you.
Yeah, it's just the way it is because I don't have to worry about cutting and running. And we're of a like mindset is what I like to call it. Okay. We both have a vested interest in this country. And ladies and gentlemen, and this goes for ladies and gentlemen, draw your lines. Okay. It may be something small. You may be the woman at the football game that gets slammed by security because you don't have a mask on. Draw your line.
And guys,
once you draw your line.
And hold on. Guys, if you are there at that football game and you see that happen,
why didn't you do something?
You get up there and you get in the face of that, whoever that person might be, cop, security guard, and say, don't do this. Yes. Don't do this.
I'm telling you, if five of you jump between that woman and the people that were trying to cuff her, it turns into a whole different thing. All you got to do is get in front of them. And you know what? You might get punched in the head. You might end up in jail, but you stood for something.
There it is.
Stop and think about what our forefathers did. These people put everything they had. We're not talking about a night in jail. They put everything they had on the line, their lives, their families' lives, their farms, their plantations, their businesses, their professions, everything. You really need to sit down and do some research about what happened to the forefathers and all the people that signed these documents. It'll blow your mind what happened to them. The price that they paid each individually. Not collectively. There wasn't a gathering of let's grab 500 of them and hang them. No, individually. They paid the price. Their actions, their families paid for their actions. You're talking about dying for what you believe in. I'm not saying that's where we need to go. I'm giving you an example of what people do for what they believe in. Do you believe in God? Would you die for God? I know he sent his son to die for us. If someone pointed a gun in your face, a 12-gauge shotgun, and said, if you say you believe in God, I'm going to blow your head off. I wonder how many of you would say, then pull the trigger. Or would you be Peter? Or would you be Peter and deny him three times? These are folks, you send emails in, and God bless you for sending emails in, and we'll try and answer them as we can. But a lot of these questions that you're asking, the answers are within yourselves. I've always believed that about questions. You have the answers. Everyone has the answers to their questions. You're waiting for someone to validate your thoughts. You don't need my validation. You really don't. And you're not by yourself. And if your neighbors see that you said no, you know what? They're going to go out and say no. I had a neighbor out here who was having trouble with one of these kids that likes to speed down the street. And he was out there with the kid arguing. Right? Little smart mouth kid. About 18. Good sized kid, though. He was bigger than my neighbor. Well, I dropped what I was doing and I walked over there. As soon as I walked over, I just looked at the kid and said, get your ass in your car and get out of here. And guess what? He left. Why? Because now there was two adults against his little motor mouth.
Imagine that.
See, and here's the thing. I wouldn't have known to go over there unless I looked over and saw that something was happening. Then I said, I'm going to get involved because that's the kind of person that I am. If I see someone in need, I always get involved. I always have since I can remember. I don't care about the consequences. I've been shot before. I've had my butt kicked off this planet before for defending people. Okay? That is of no consequence to me when it comes to my conscience and did I do the right thing. And if I see somebody in need or having a confrontation or something like that, I'll always jump in it. There's a lot of people out there like that. There's a lot of people like Doug will do the same thing. Jump right in it.
Yep.
We don't have to know you. We don't have to know you. We look at the situation and go, that person's outnumbered, or there is a misjustice being done here, injustice being done. We're going to get involved. That's and right. We do.
You said something very profound, though. The answers are within themselves. I didn't mean to over-talk you, but to me, that's very profound.
No, that's important.
Yeah.
I think that's important. And, Doug, I think it's really people just looking for, because right now they're looking at, if I do something, I'm suddenly a criminal. I'm suddenly going to go to jail. And yes, you could. Yes, you could. And I'm not saying that's the route. You have to draw those lines. I can't draw those lines for you, nor will I draw those lines for you. It's not my responsibility. God has not appointed that to me. You have not elected me to make those decisions for you. Okay? And I'm not your commissioned officer to tell you how you're going to die. I don't do that. That's not what's happening here, okay? All I can do is be your friend, your compadre, your fellow patriot, your fellow Christian, and we're all under the same God, and that's all I can tell you. And we're all going to answer one day.
For both actions and inactions.
Exactly, and often inaction carries more consequences than action.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and you really have to weigh that. And folks, so this right here, this is a fantastic guide, okay? And as you can see, mine gets well used. It's well marked. Yellow highlighters all through this. The answers are in there, okay?
Yeah.
God told us all about this. Two books to really pay attention to as to what's going on now is Ezekiel and Revelation. And please, folks, just start at the first of Ezekiel, read through it. Start at Revelation, read through it, okay? And if you have any questions about how much God loves you, then go back and read the first four chapters of the New Testament about Jesus' life and about him dying on the cross for your sins. We're not in this alone. See, and that's the thing. We're not in this alone. And I honestly believe that God is there waiting for us to step up to the plate and do something to protect and rebuild and remodel this beautiful gift that he gave us, the United States of America. What a beautiful gift. What other country in the world can sit back and look at the way that if the United States isn't a product of divine intervention, I don't have one for you, except perhaps Israel.
You know, Randy Taylor, I looked at a map. This was posted somewhere, I'm not sure where, of the United States in 1750, all right, in the 13 mm-hmm. colonies. And
yes, sir.
The small area, how small that those 13 colonies were compared to, you know, the French Louisiana area, compared to the Mexican area. We were yeah. such a small area and we yeah. were able to, you know,
fend off the British.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we were able to claim our independence. That we are a product of divine intervention and we are squandering a beautiful gift. Okay. And this has to go back and start somewhere. And one of the first things we got to do is we got to get control of this government. We've got to abolish abortion. Okay. Because I honestly think that was, really the beginning of our downfall was when we started killing babies in the womb, when we started playing God, which is not our job. We are not qualified. He has not said, okay, I'm giving up. You're in charge of this. Okay. These are babies. We're killing babies at a faster rate than the Nazis killed Jews. We are killing babies at a faster rate than they're having, where they have genocide in Africa and Rwanda and all. That looks like child's play compared to what's happening in our country. And we're getting in bed with the wrong people. China is evil. Get it through your heads. These are the people that if you had one too many children, they came and took the child. So what do you think they did with them? They killed them.
Yep.
And these are the people we want to get in bed with. And the country that we're painting as the boogeyman, Russia, okay, is closer to being a Christian nation than China ever would be.
Very ever. True.
And I don't know how else to tell you that. And the only reason that Russia's the boogeyman, and the only reason we hate Russia, is because they're an enemy of China as well.
And they're a national, very, very populist nationalist country.
Yes. All right.
So
yes. Is Russia perfect? No, but look at heck us. No. And we're out here destroying countries, toppling governments, and killing people. At the same time, we take the moral high ground and say, oh, well, that guy that's in the Russian prison, if anything happens to him, there will be consequences. Who are you talking to? The guy that was against Putin, his adversary.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes, yes.
Yeah, but the point is, who are we to say that?
And
when our sheet, our rap sheet isn't clean.
And consider this, the CIA, two CIA officers were just arrested in Belarus for plotting to overthrow the government there, staging a coup. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here we are. You know, like you said.
Aren't we just an ironic fallacy, Doug? We are the perfect definition of irony.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a sickening. It's a sickening irony. That's the thing. This isn't a game. It's not. We laugh and stuff on the show. That's so we don't lose our minds. But we're in dire times, folks. We're in desperate times, desperate measures. But this starts with you on the line. I've drawn my line. Doug's drawn his lines. Have you drawn your lines? And guess what? It's a really good guide for drawing lines.
It's the ultimate God. You're right.
Absolutely. This is a beautiful thing. This country was established around our Creator. we recognize them from the word go.
And that's when everything went sideways, when we decided to abandon them, right?
Yes, sir. And I'm not speaking against other religions in our country. That's not what I'm saying. Everybody should worship God as they see fit, okay? But worship God. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not these people, and not these phony baloney Democrats that get up and quote scripture. Maxine Waters likes to quote scripture. Nancy Pelosi likes to quote scripture. Ted Lieu likes to quote scripture. Those are exactly the people that you're warned about in Revelation. They're evil. They're evil. You're known by your works, not by your words. And those people with all those little biblical words that are up there quoting scripture usually take it out of context. And two, if you look at their lives and what they're doing and how they treat their constituents and how they live their lives and how they treat other people, they are not Christians. Do not tell me they are. But it's not too late. Nancy Pelosi can't become a Christian. It's not too late for her to make it to heaven. Maxine Waters can become a Christian. It's not too late. Pray for them. Please, pray for your enemies.
We're commanded to do just that, pray for our enemies.
But you are. Pray for your enemies. Absolutely pray for them. In the military, it's not really exactly a popular thing to pray for your enemies, but I always thought you should pray for them to at least before they meet their maker. Shame on me.
No, I mean, it is just
pray,
that way.
Yes, pray for your enemies, because you know what? Anyone can convert. Anyone can suddenly have what alcoholics call a moment of clarity and say, right? Yep. It could happen to anyone. And they go, oh, wow. Because you see it all the time in different places, especially in social media, in different places. You'll see accounts of someone that was a hardcore leftist changes their way. Which one was it in the Roe versus Wade?
Norma, the Roe.
Changed her way, though.
Yeah. Reported.
It's never too late. Charles Manson, sitting there in his jail cell, could have accepted the Lord Jesus as his personal savior. Think about that.
Yeah.
Or not. No. Yeah. But you see what I'm saying? I mean, it's possible. Pray for your enemies. Okay. Pray for your enemies. All these things that we've mentioned today, it's just simple advice, and there are things that we use for our personal guides, because one day I got to meet my maker one day.
Yep.
And I want to be able to do it to where I can say, Lord, this is what I did, and I'm proud of what I did. And if they pushed me into a corner and I had to fight, then, Lord, because of putting on your whole armor, I was able to do that. And it was in defense of your name and a country you gave us.
Amen. You know, that's, and I think that's what this is all about, because I feel that we are in this, I don't want to say end of, we're coming to some sort of precipice here in the end of days. Yeah. And I think that we have to really come to terms with that. And the people, you know what? I think that there are a lot of people out there who are afraid of that. They don't want to die. They're afraid to die.
See what you just said, afraid to die.
Yep.
Get your life right, okay? I remember laying on a table having a heart attack about 6 years ago, and all I thought about was my kids. I wasn't afraid to meet my maker at all, because we've made peace, okay? And I try and live my life in such a manner, because I never know when I'm going to meet my maker. But if I need to meet my maker defending the United States of America from enemies, foreign or domestic, then so be it. I think there's other ways, but if that day ever comes and happens, then so be it. I meet my maker. And I'm cool with that. I'm good with that. He loves me. I love him. That's that. And I know that I'll be able to say, Lord, I did the right thing.
At the end of the day, that's what's important, you know. Before, we only have about About 2 minutes left. A couple of things that you're not going to hear necessarily on the legacy media. Officer Sicknick, it was the medical examiner, ruled that he died of natural causes, not from anything. There was no proximate cause to the Capitol, what happened at the Capitol that day. So the only person killed by the riots at the Capitol would be Ashley Babbitt. Just saying. So, yeah.
You know, and didn't we finally get that officer's name that shot her?
There was a name that was mentioned. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if I can depend on the sources with respect to the
true.
Name.
That's true. Yeah, that requires further analysis.
Yeah. And I would also add, with the Chauvin trial, as the jury is deliberating, with the Chauvin trial, they would, if, I don't know how many people saw this, but of course a witness intimidation, situation arose where pig's head and blood was found on at the residence of a defense witness, but the defense witness had moved from that residence some 5-6 years previous. This is what's going on, you know, along with Maxine Waters, you know, pushing the envelope for jury tampering and witness intimidation. And you have CBS outing, people who donated to Kyle Rittenhouse. Okay. You've got the media. All of this, I say all of this is because the media, or the legacy media, or the corporate media, whatever you want to call it, is really on the war against America. And one last thing, I want to mention this too. Alex Jones did a great, great piece with James O'Keefe yesterday, Project Veritas. And folks, please engage in this. What do you say? Help movement. Me out here. The disposition by prior copy thing. Here I go again. There he goes. You know, the thing. Distribution by proxy. Distribution by proxy. Make sure people get red pilled. And take
right on.
Take his stuff, take our stuff, take Randy Taylor's stuff. But Randy, you and I are going to be doing some stuff in the background, and I appreciate what you do.
Yes, and ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Yeah, thank you for supporting the Hagmann Report, and please continue to do so. We got a million things going on behind the scenes. The multi-pronged war.
Yeah. So when I forget that phrase, it's not because I'm, you know. It's not because of the Alzheimer's. It's because of, man, how many things do we talk about, right? You're the guy. You're the man.
Right on, my friend. Good to see you. Absolutely great to see you. Eric, take it easy, bud.
All right. We're going to talk later. All right.
All right.
Randy Taylor, Hagmann Report. You can email Randy at randytaylor@hagmannreport.com. All right. It's in fact, it should be in the program description box. As the music plays and loops over 17 times. Going to be right back. You're listening to the Hagmann Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network and Rumble and Brighty on.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star.
Welcome back. Hour number two, the Hagmann Report. It is Tuesday, April 20th, 2021. And if it's Tuesday, as usual, it's Tuesdays with Stan. Stan Deo has been off for some time. Let me know when we have him, and I'll cut right to him. He's been off for the last, I think, 3 weeks. So we've missed him dearly. He's feeling better. And thanks for praying for him, and thank you so much for supporting him. He's doing well. He had a Patreon meeting last weekend. I was busy. Actually, I was busy on assignment, so I couldn't get to the Patreon meeting. But StanDeo.com. Stan and his lovely wife Holly do a great job at keeping us informed. Do I have him yet? EMP Shield, folks. Thank you. Thank you. It's time. If you haven't done so already, it is now time. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your family, tell Amanda, whatever. EMPShield.com/Hagmann. EMPShield.com/Hagmann or EMPShield.com code Hagman for $50 off. You need one of these for your to protect your electronics in the event of an EMP. Can it happen? Absolutely. Will it happen? I don't know. But it sure seems more likely than not. It could be naturally occurring by way of like a Carrington type event, or it could be bad guys. Yeah. Either way, protect your stuff. EMPshield.com, code Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N for $50 off. Please do it now. And if you're protected, make sure your neighbor's protected. Make sure your son, your son-in-law, your daughter-in-law, whatever. Make sure they have these. Your house, your car, your generator, your farmhouse, whatever you need, or whatever property you have, protect it. EMPshield.com, code Hagman. It just makes sense. Thank you, Eric the Tech, for that. 420, right? All right. All right. Stan the man. Stan Dale. StanDale.com. It is so great to have you back. I don't want to waste a minute of your time. Just come on in. Come on in. Water's fine.
Thank you, sir. Yep. Hello, guys. He's alive. Number five is alive. Hey. Anyway, it's lots good of stuff to talk about.
It is good to see you. I love you, man.
Thank you, boy. Good to see you.
All right.
I
am so glad you're back, and I'm glad, you know what though? I'm glad you rested enough to take, you know, so I'm glad you're back. All right. Go ahead. It's all yours.
Rested, had to get a few things fixed, but been there, done that, and we're back on deck here. Listen, I want to point out, you were talking about EMP shields. Go to our standale.com website and look at what Holly's got under the alert column. That is the entire column of alerts. It's huge. You know, deals with Russia, deals with the sun, all kinds of things. There's a M-class solar flare, M1 class, actually, in active region 2016, which I'll talk about here on our show images page. Yep. There are a lot of reasons and to get the EMP shield, and I've been busy, gosh, for probably the last 10 days, taking orders from people for EMP shields. They have come out of the woodwork. People are actually starting to realize that we need these things to protect our homes and our alternative energy supplies like Generacs and solar panels and things like that. And your cars too, Holly said, to remind you. So, look, I don't have to keep telling you this. You can just look at the news. Do that on our site and on the show images page. We'll talk about a lot of other things. And since we're talking about that, let's start off by looking at slide 40 and 41 and 42, all those in that little section down there at the bottom. Now, slide 40 is a video of this latest solar flare. Now, the reason I put that up there, in fact, in a couple of ways, in slide 39, I have the same thing, a different color, like a different frequency, is you can see, keep watching, there's a, there's a shockwave that comes out of that thing when it comes around. See that in the lower left of your picture, that bright spot? And it should, there, did you just see that shockwave go across the sun? It was a huge impact on the sun. G1 class flares are, they're reasonable. They're not, the end of the earth, but, for this solar season, that's one of the largest ones we've had. And as I've said, this solar season, this solar sunspot season is, starting early and, with force and meaning, with great vigor. So this is why I want to keep an eye on it. And look at slide 39. That, gives it a different wavelength without showing the shockwave. Okay, you can get that up there, Eric. Yeah. Okay, and then slide 41. This shows you the high resolution picture of the magnetic field lines coming out of this thing here that produced this, this coronal mass ejection and this flare. The coronal mass ejection looks like it's going to miss us a wee bit. But they're still kind of keeping an eye on it because they're not sure. Look at slide 37. Now, this is a picture of it, further out of the sun, showing how that flare, coronal mass ejection, exited the sun. And it might give us a grazing blow, they say. You can see that in the text there where I report what they say. You can also get this on like spaceweather.com. If you just go to there instead of using the GIF thing I've got there. Now look at slide 42. Slide 42 shows us three quarters of the sun. One quarter of it's missing because that satellite, you know, died a long time ago. But you see two red arrows there in this picture of the heliographic image of the sun today. And the two red arrows, the one on the left is approaching. The one on the right is the one that just released that G1 class CME solar flare. Now, on the left, the arrow pointing to that one shows that it's going to be there in about, it's going to be facing us in about 6 days. So it's even bigger than the one that we just experienced, that area of unrest, that active region of the sun. So those are things to consider about the sun and the need for EMP shields for solar EMPs that occur. They are so much stronger than the bomb-generated EMP, it's not funny. So these can last for hours and cause horrific voltage increase levels all across the planet of the side facing it. So anyway, just keep an eye on that and get your EMP shields if you haven't already. And there must have been a lot of people who have been waiting for something else to motivate them, maybe warfare or something, but I'm not kidding you. The orders we've gotten are just huge numbers.
And you know what I noticed? People a whole lot smarter than I am are ordering the ones I know about, because I don't know who your clients are, but I know who our listeners are. And I know that we've got a whole lot smarter people than me are ordering EMP shields. And I pay attention to that. Okay. That I don't know what I mean by that, except to say that if I have an electronic engineer or, somebody that, you know, physics major ordering a EMP shield, I pay attention. That makes me more so,
right.
More so than somebody like me ordering it. You know, what do they know? So, and one more thing about that. I don't know whether you saw this, and I don't even know if it's germane to the topic. Strat 4. Did you happen to see you covered the sun, but Strat 4 issued a statement. Did you happen to see that Strat 4 statement? About nuclear.
No, what was
Eric the Tech? I sent you that. Do you have that handy? Because I want to get your take on this, and then the rest is yours. I just wanted to ask you about this. We're talking about EMPs. Strat 4 had sent a really odd message or tweet, and I got this like from five different people, or Stratcom, not Strat 4, Stratcom. Pardon me. So it said posture statement preview. The spectrum of conflict today is neither linear nor predictable. We must account for the possibility of conflict leading to conditions which could very rapidly drive an adversary to consider nuclear use as their least bad option. That from Stratcom. Why? So I'm thinking, okay. You're talking about EMP shields. A nuclear blast certainly would ruin people's day and would take out our electronics by way of the EMP result. And then you got the Stratcom advisory, preview statement, posture statement. So anyway, I don't know whether you saw that or not, but I just – that kind of – you know, why would they put that out there, Stan? I'm just curious.
Well – this, you know, our military, you know, the majority of the military serving us are aware of the clear and present danger of China and Russia attacking us and possibly Iran joining them, in spite of what the people occupying the White House would say. I'm not convinced, I never will be, that the people occupying the White House got there legally. They stole the election. They invaded us. They are driven by communist backing, and all their supporters there in the left and Democratic Party. For people that, you know, don't realize this, I'm sorry for you, but we are at war and we're not doing anything about it. I'm prompted to say things like, okay, the morning that we got there was to kind of help people realize we need to get ready for hand-to-hand combat because we're being invaded. Now, the military is doing this kind of, you know, easy-like because the people in the White House aren't supporting this. They're trying to give Iran, you know, nuclear bombs. They're trying to just, well, to make America vulnerable to attack and take over by China and Russia, which are communist countries. And they have their agents. They've had them here for like 50 years in our schools, our religious academies, you know, in our governments, in our political positions. They've been maintaining this and expanding their grip for all that time. And people need to realize the communists are among us now, and they're in the White House, and they are our enemy, our sworn enemy. And they want to destroy the United States system we have and possibly the United States in the process. Look at slide 38. Click on the picture. It says in the text, it is time this far or no farther. Give me liberty or give me death. If you click on the picture, I listed a couple of things there. One from Job 38:11, when God is talking, you know, in Job, he says, God says, when I said this far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud stones must stop. Now, proud stones is what an invading army would do. They put up their stones and say, this is our territory, the border, blah, blah, blah. Lyndon Johnson, you know, President Johnson, said the Asia of tomorrow will be far different because we have said in Vietnam, as we said 16 years ago in Korea, this far and no further. And kind of tongue in cheek, I quote from First Contact in the Star Trek series, Jean-Luc Picard says, this far and no farther. And he was talking about an invading force placing their outposts and stuff in, you know, the Federation space. Patrick Henry, 1775. Where is he today, Patrick Henry? We need one of those. It says, give me liberty or give me death. And we need to realize we're at war. And it is my hope that a Patrick Henry type person will emerge pretty soon and start leading forces in parts of our military that are on board with this to remove people from the White House that don't belong there. And yeah, I know this sounds like, you know, treason and stuff like that, but they aren't there by our vote. They are there illegally. They have taken over our White House and our government, and they are doing everything they can to kill Americans and to kill America, and now with the Second Amendment challenges to stop us from being able to defend ourselves even against invading forces. They have come far enough and done enough bad that we need to stand up and stop them. Now, I don't think going to the ballot box is going to work because they're making it impossible for us to vote them out. I know this is bad talk, and it's not your words, Doug. It's mine. So
I echo your words. Seriously, I am on board with you. Everything you said, I agree with, and everything that you advocate or not advocate, but look, I'm waiting for somebody of that caliber to clean house as well. As far as I'm concerned, America is a captured operation from within and has been for some
time. Yeah. And look at what they did around the White House after the election. They put fences and troops, 15,000 troops to guard, you know, DC or around the White House. Why? Because they were afraid that someone would rise up and kick them out because they didn't belong there. They already knew that they screwed us. So, yeah, look, something needs to be said, you know, far and wide about this. It's time. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
We could probably spend a whole program on that. But
just real quick in closing on that, people are looking for answers. And, you know, as we await the inevitable violence that's going to result from the latest Chauvin, Rodney King 2.0 on steroids times 10. Okay. That's, you know, with all of this, and I've done the last couple of shows, I've shown that it's really since 1967 to the present, the rise in 67 to the, to 92 to the present, it's all the same golden communist thread. So I'll just end there. And it's all from within. And you're exactly right. So thank you very much for pointing that out. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. And a footnote to that. Don't let them take your defense of your home away. The Bible says, you know, you got to be a master of your household and protect your family with your sword. Well, do not give up your weapons to defend your home. That's just a right from the Second Amendment. And do not do it. Don't give them up. Anyway, all right. Few things in the news today. As you might notice, there are quite a few images there. In slide 73, I found this report over in the UK in their government site, where they gave lists of adverse reactions to vaccines, to the Pfizer one and to the AstraZeneca. And you can click those yellow parts there. Click here for Pfizer, click here for AstraZeneca. And those are PDF files listing all the deaths, all the adverse reactions that didn't lead to death but still were quite painful that happened, you know, people taking the Pfizer vaccine or AstraZeneca. And it runs on for pages, like 135,000, you know, reports of adverse effects. You know, I don't care if that's 1% or 0.1 or whatever of the population. I don't want to be in the people suffering these side effects here, you know, to the heart, to the brain, clots. It goes on. There are so many of them. It's you know, I can't list them all. That's why I put up these PDFs from the UK. Yeah, just scan down those there, Eric. I mean, you can just see, and that's just one page. All the way at the end, I think it tells, that's blood disorders. There were 4,210, you know, adverse effects they reported as of, you know, yesterday. And then it just goes on, heart, blah, 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 you know.
Stan, so, if I can ask you a question, all right? Those are adverse effects. All right, now, one question I had asked, and I'm asking this of everyone, everyone that has knowledge, you know, of biology and such, and you do. Those people who have received this mRNA experimental jab, if I have not, and I'm with somebody who has, the person who has, can they shed nasties from whatever they absorbed in that jab to me?
You know, that's a good question. Basically, you know, if you listen to the spurts on this, once you get the shot and have become immunized, you're not going to spread to anyone else. But they're also talking about herd immunity. Where's that herd immunity come from? Is it from these people who've been, you know, vaccinated, or is it from the people who haven't that have spread their disease and to people that haven't had the shot, and that makes, you know, the whole herd immune? I'm not sure how we define that. So it's a difficult question to answer because I just don't have enough data to be, you know, positive about that. But
Cliff, I had mentioned, I asked that question yesterday, and then somebody sent me a link to a Cliff High video addressing that very question. There seems to be some sort of validity to that question. But anyway, so there it is. Okay, thanks.
Well, maybe you'll get exposure in a limited amount because they've been immunized, and that will help build your own herd immunity. Of course, in our house, neither one of us are getting a shot. That RNA, ribonucleic acid, that's, you know, part of the shot. That is causing changes to your DNA, and I just do not believe that is right. It speaks of the fallen ones, you know, that before the flood, that were making chimeras, you know, hybrid beings from, you know, crossing genetic structures in, you know, DNA. And I don't know what this kind of stuff is going to do, this RNA going into our body. Anyway, I just...
Well, you had addressed this as well, and I don't mean to overtake your show page here.
That's all
right. 63, you had addressed the experimental experiment creates Planet of the Apes embryos. Okay, Alex Jones is talking about the same thing for years. You've been talking about the same thing for years. People have called you and others conspiracy kooks for even thinking about it. Tremendous Seinfeld episode, The Pig Man. I don't know how many people remember that. If the Seinfeld people out there, it was a funny episode. Anyway, Jerry's a pig man. Anyway, and then there's that. And then you've got, I find it ironic in slide 66, where Gates wants to block the sunlight, yet vitamin D is a component to fight off the, you know, the Rona infection. Okay. So is,
gee, I hadn't even thought of that. Right.
I'm thinking, wait a second. Okay. I get that, but I also get the fact that, you know, it's been proved that vitamin D, creates a better immune system. Anyway, so yeah. These things cross my mind when I'm not thinking of other things. All right, so back to you, sir.
Well, you know, on that with Bill Gates thing about putting chalk up into the upper atmosphere, your stratosphere, to reflect the sunlight, we've been aware for, gosh, maybe 30 years that the sun was going to be increasing its output. And this would put us into the whole planet into a drought situation, overheating type things and tremendous windstorms as a result of that. So I can see that, you know, talk of putting up reflectors, you know, or chemtrails, you know, to reflect sunlight. That's kind of a band-aid for the problem. And, it's not been thought through, in my opinion, thoroughly because of the side effects it could refer in agriculture, in our health, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's like people saying, well, okay, look, we've got to block the sunlight. It's causing us problems. Well, have you thought about other things like, you know, administering things to, you know, the atmosphere, like, you know, rainmaking and things like that, and have normal blocking of the sunlight. And things like, you know, D3 vitamins that you can take to, for the population to keep their immune system working if you are going to do something like that. It's not well thought out unless you take a position that they want a lot of the people of Earth to just disappear because they are useless eaters in their opinion, in, you know, the Gates type people's opinion. And if you read the works of them, the speeches they've given, the things they've posted, and look at the report in 1978 that talked about the limits to growth of the planet. These guys have gone on that like it's a Bible and seeing how many people have to die, you know, how many people we have to get rid of so we can support them, you know, sustain them with food, water, and, you know, the biological necessities. There are so many things hitting us at the moment that I'm sure Satan has his hand in that it's not funny. It's a chessboard. And he's moving so many pieces surreptitiously that are all coming together to go for, you know, the queen, to checkmate those of us that are following Jesus. And it's been slow coming, test here, test there, this decade, that decade. And now they're all coming to a head in our time, our decade, our year, in fact. Oh, gosh.
You know, I really missed you, Stan. I got to tell you that. Do you think in the large, I mean, the bottom line here is we are fighting evil. We're fighting Satan. I don't think anyone can really, any Bible believing Christian can dispute that. Like you just said, the more I look at everything going on right now, it almost seems to me like they've actually pushed the button for depopulation and that grand, okay, end game. Here we go. Bang. I'm going to push the button. And, we're going to go into the, fourth quarter and, you know, we're doing it. Georgia guy says we're doing it. That's it. We're doing it. That's kind of what I'm getting. So I don't know, but what you said,
you know, we won't go through it watching the video. It's about an hour and a bit here. But in slide 62, The Dimming is the name of it. It's a full length climate engineering documentary. By a guy that I know and others have known, and his work is absolutely sterling. It covers chemtrails and a lot of other things in this. It's worth a watch, so get that later. Gosh. The world scene. I've been talking about Saudi Arabia and, you know, how Mohammed bin Salman is, trying to lead the Arab world, you know, and be the de facto leader of 33 countries over there as far as setting an example about how to deal with the non-Islamic population and with Israel. And I found a note, an article about Mohammed bin Salman at the moment. Slide 70, he has an unpaid bill with Metro Builders that runs into billions. U.S.-based Bechtel Corporation and other international firms are pursuing billions of dollars in unpaid bills from Saudi government, which is him. you know, he's had all these ambitious things like the city of Neom and the billions of actually up close to $1 trillion he wants to spend on that. And then he had an IPO for, you know, a listing at the share exchange for shares in Aramco. He's going to sell part of that off. And they didn't get the support they thought they would because he was depending on that to fund all his, you know, super plans, super expensive plans there. So, you know, he's losing power, you know, financial power and things. So that's just another reason to say that he's probably not the Antichrist, although he may be put up as same by the real Antichrist. We'll see.
Boy, where do you go to collect that? I mean, you can't take that to small claims court.
No, he's liable to send assassins after you like he did to, you know, Turkey. But, you know, gosh, you've got a very complex political situation and religious situation, in the least. You've got Turkey who really wants to destroy Israel. You know, it hates Israel. Okay. And Turkey has been having it at its odds with Saudi Arabia. However, things are changing. Israel and Greece have made a mutual defense pact so that Israel can put a defense base in Greece to watch over Turkey should it come after Israel. In fact, size 72 shows a map, if you click on it, where Turkey it wants to exchange ambassadors with Israel. Now, this is, you know, against logic. How can they do that when they hate Israel? You know, were they going to bring them over there and use them as hostages against, you know, for their war against Israel? As I'm saying, things are contrary to each other. It's just, oh, you know, I don't understand what is going over there in the final analysis. There's so many pieces moving, and Iran and Israel are at war. It's, you know, you might not realize it, but they are. I mean, in slide 75, if you go into that article, it shows that they are in de facto war, in all but name. I don't know whether the people have been following this or not. The number of, ship attacks and other missile attacks and things have been going on between Iran and Israel. You know, it's got to come to a point where somebody pushes the nuclear button. And this talk about, okay, Iran is 60%, you know, the way to having a nuclear bomb. Look, Iran is backed by Russia. I'm sure China would help Iran. If they need a nuclear bomb, they'll get one without even making it themselves. So, you know, again, the war is upon us, and the need for EMP shields has just increased there. The sun and that place there both. In slide 74, go on.
To what you said there, you know, I've seen comparisons on the world stage made to the months in the time before World War One, the Great War. And I just want to remind people that I think, what, 3-4 months went by, or at least a few months went by between the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand to the breaking out, to the actual hot fire of World War One. So there was a time period in there where things were being set up, and it was equally complicated. But anyway, I just liken it to that time period where, you know, okay, Ferdinand's been assassinated. Now we're just waiting for the hostilities to break out. That's just my kind of assessment. But go ahead.
I couldn't agree more. It's instead of the Balkan powder keg that started World War One, we have the Middle East power keg that's going to start a huge conflict.
Yep.
And of course, the Antichrist is going to come in and say, okay, now, kids, settle down. You know, the aliens have come, our elder brothers, and we can disarm, you know, nuclear missiles all over the planet and, you know, bring us back to peace. We're at that point, and this will be different than the World War One conflict, but,
you know, I find it interesting too, the disclosure aspect that you've talked about for so many years. You've talked about disclosure, soft disclosure, disclosure. We're seeing that happen now, concurrent with current events. So you're.
Oh, well, on that subject, slide 61, former head of the CIA, James Woolsey, says he's open to the possibility of alien life. But there was one case, he says, in which a friend of mine was able to have his aircraft stop midair at 40,000 feet or so, and not continue operating as a normal aircraft. Now, this is, you know, former head of the CIA. Okay. You can read the article. You can click on it there. You've got it. So this is part of that soft disclosure you're talking about when the head of the former head of the CIA comes out and says this. And on that note, this is not part of disclosure, but this is what happened here a week or 10 days ago here at my house in slide 58. I saw the vertical UFO that was over in the Salida there in the San Juan Valley, just over the range from us. I saw it up in the sky at night, vertical, just like that. And little sparkly red and green and white little sparkly dots were dancing all over that white part you see there. Now, I took this image from the San Juan sighting because I didn't have my camera with me when this happened, and increased the contrast so I could see what's at the bottom of that white thing. And it's a disturbance in the air underneath the craft. I guess that's part of its propulsion, not sure, but you couldn't basically see anything but a dark spot. And I didn't even see that in the one I was looking at because it was far away. But this craft, this long craft, I actually got to see that here in my neighborhood. I was impressed, and I'm disclosing that that's not from around here, I don't think. I mean, and look, slide 59 and 60, the triangular UFO, the Pentagon confirms leaked footage of pyramid-shaped UFOs is real. Now, I don't know whether that's pyramid-shaped or whether it's triangular-shaped, but the first thing I thought of when I saw that was, holy cow, that's from my 2005 Roswell lecture where I showed how several smaller flying saucers could link together with their fields and form a massive triangular shape and, you know, move through the sky. What impressed me about this video here, there's a video there at slide 59, you can get to it and see it, is that this bright triangle would be out of focus, and then it would be in focus in a bright flash. It would get very bright itself, and then back to not focused and a lower light level. And it was pulsing like that. Now, I don't know if that was a problem with the naval, method of capturing this video, because it might have been on image intensification, but something was causing that thing to, phase in and out of being in focus and, making that flash. Both slides 59 and 60 show images and videos concerning that. Now, this is part of that not so soft, disclosure. We're starting to say, yes, they're here. The Navy's filmed them. Okay, be on the alert. They are here. You got the CIA saying that. You got, these filmmakers and Navy saying it. Because of the world situation in the Middle East and here in the United States being at war, position, discord all over the planet, which could cause a total global nuclear war, I think we're at the point that I've been speaking about for so long that people are going to cry out for someone to stop the war. Someone that is not tied to any of the major religions or countries in their politics and whatever. It has to be a neutral source, which of course defines someone from off the planet. Just keep watching these reports of the UFO things that come out on, you can put a watch this type thing for UFO on Google and on Yahoo and have a look. They're coming in fast and furious now. Oh. And not only that, look at all the earthquakes and volcanoes that are occurring. Slide 46, I show a volcano there. It's in, Iceland. I don't know how to say it in Icelandese, but how they spell it is Reykjavik, volcano. And you can read that article there. It's becoming active as a magma spurter. It's not so much an explosive, a pyroclastic type volcano, but it's doing damage to the local surround because they built up around that area thinking it wasn't going to be happening. And at Mauna Loa, that's being very active, and people are being warned about it. And at the same time, NASA has sponsored a doctor and her team to explore the lava tubes there that are cool now for possible, how to build a perfect habitat on Mars in the tubes there from volcanoes. And so they're down in there, making tests, inside the lava tubes. You can see in slide 51, enlarge it. That's her and one of her associates down in the lava tube itself. I wouldn't want that job. I mean, you know, if that thing starts, it's coming right up through where you are very quickly. I mean, in slide 49, they're even, USGS is even showing people in Hawaii, look guys, these areas are, you know, pretty risky hours, and the flowing from this Mauna Loa, if it flows down and not pyroclastic, it's going to hit these neighborhoods and things like that. For lava flows that big, those tubes are going to get crowded real quick. Oh, gosh.
How do you explain that to your insurance company? Hey, you know, like to call a claim, volcano destroyed my house. All right.
It's like a dog ate my homework. Yeah, right.
I mean, isn't there like 56 volcanoes active right now, more than ever in history?
Yeah, plus or minus a bit. Yeah, that changes daily. If you look at the reports on that, the volcanoes are, you know, active on the planet. And the attendant earthquakes that precede and accompany these eruptions.
Wow.
UFOs. Now, here is a light story, a fun story. Slide 48. The click on the picture, that's the Duke of Edinburgh that passed recently. This is a picture of him in 1985 when his personal secretary rang me at home in Australia. They had copies of my book, and so did Prince Charles, who joined his father in their interest of UFOs and, you know, and even in archaeology of Egypt. Now, so I get this call from his secretary. And he's saying to me that they're going to go over to Egypt. And we know that Prince Philip was in Egypt in 1922, and he had a strong love of Egypt and archaeology there. And he had gotten information from a woman archaeologist there in Egypt who had come to the front door of what looked like Alexander the Great's grave. And painted on the front of that was images like from the front cover of my book, The Cosmic Conspiracy. And they were so amazed by that. They said, look, we think you ought to come with us and see this. And maybe, you know, you can tell us more about when we get inside the tomb. Now, this went on, you know, the invitation went on, and I said, okay, yeah, I'll be in that. But they never decided to do it. I don't know if it was conflict of his royal duties or whatever, but it was nice of them to ring and say, hey, would you like to join us in this thing to see Alexander's tomb? Because your book cover has things on it that were in on that front door. And so was it Alexander's tomb? We never heard anything about them finding Alexander the Great's tomb yet. But anyway, I thought it was kind of cool that he and Prince Charles had copies of my books in their library. And
so that's the White House.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, well, the White House during Reagan's administration, I think. His wife got a copy. Who else was it? Anyway, some of the notables around the planet have gotten copies of this book. And when I was in Australia, you know, when I were there in 1996, I believe it was, that's when we got a call from a lady on the other side of the country in Canberra at the Canberra Museum of Arts next to a big, you know, parkway there. It was when President Clinton and his Secretary of Defense, or former Secretary of Defense at the time, Jem Schlesinger, were visiting in that area. And she was in the paintings division of this, you know, historical art society thing there. And she was looking at some paintings, and a guy came up behind her, a tall guy, and said, you know, what do you think about that? And she turned around, it's American accent. She said, oh, you're a Yank. What are you doing over? He says, oh, I came over detail with the president, you know, Clinton. I'm former Secretary of Defense. And she said, oh, no, you're not. And he said, oh, yeah, I am. He says, if you'll come down to the parkway here and sit in that park bench where there's no trees around us, I'll explain that to you. And so she gets down there and sits on the bench with him, and there are no, like, guards or anything around that she could see, and, you know, certainly not next to him. And so he opened up his jacket, and he pulled out his ID and flapped it open to her. And she says, wow, if you're really the Secretary of Defense, I mean, where are your guards and stuff? He says, if I push this button right here up on the rim of this garden area, you can see up there, if you look, those guys will come running down here and get after you. Oh, she says, well, look, if you're really the guy, can I ask you a question? He says, well, sure. She says, what do you know about UFOs? Are they real? Are there aliens? And he laughs, she said. And he says, well, I can't tell you that, it's classified, but There's a man here in this country, over on the other side of the country, who wrote a book, and he will tell you all you need to know about that. His book is right. In fact, we have it in the White House. And this is, you know, like in the Clinton administration and Jim Schlesinger. And so she said, okay. And they had him choke and left. And she got on the phone, and she and her husband, and they called me and they said, look, here's what happened to us. We just want to know, you know, what you know about the UFO situation, because former Secretary of Defense says you're the spurt, and they have a copy of your book in the Defense Department, okay, the White House. And so wow. I said, okay, let me be sure you were talking to Secretary, former Secretary of Defense, Jeff Schlesinger. So we faxed over a couple of pictures of, you know, Secretaries of Defense, and one of them was, of course, Jim Schlesinger. We said, pick the one that you saw, the guy that was up beside you. And so I said, yeah, all right. And which one? She says, oh, this guy here. And it was Jim Schlesinger. Now, it was a message from Jim Schlesinger put through her, basically to say they were aware of what I was doing and that it was cool. And hold on a second. Can you hear that background chatter?
Yeah, but that's all right, though. I mean, you got to take care of business. Sorry.
Well, anyway, so I... You know, I took that into consideration and remembered it. And years later, in 2001, when I needed to get permit to come back home because my passport had been taken and they'd said my nationality had been canceled. So I thought, well, you know, Jim Schlesinger, he knows who I am. He's got my book. I called him his office where he worked at Lehman Brothers at the time. And I said, okay. Look, is he there? She says, no, the secretary does. I said, look, if I can, leave a message, just one sentence for him. Here it is. Tell Jim that Stan Deo needs a favor. Right, because at that time, Holly, can you tone that down, please? Okay. I can't hear myself think. Anyway, so, up until that time, for 6 months, I've been trying to get the Australia desk in the State Department to let me come home on a green card to visit with my parents because they were old and elderly and sick. And they wouldn't let that happen. And so that's why I appealed to Jim Schlesinger's last resort. Well, after I rang his office and left that message, within 48 hours, the American consulate in Melbourne, Victoria, in Australia, obviously, rang and said, oh, Mr. Dale, there's been some massive mess up in the State Department. You didn't lose your nationality, and we're going to send your passport, your new passports to you, and your children born here in this country are now all American citizens. We're sending their passports. Welcome home. And so that was the clout he took, but he defended me in that respect to let me come home to be with my parents. And I still have the letter saying where I was no longer a citizen, so it's not my imagination, you know. But anyway, that did happen, and I was pleased to know him, and that he studied my book, and he, tacitly what he said was, guys, what Stan is telling you in his book, The Cosmic Conspiracy, is what's going on, and that's the final plan, you know, for the world. So, you know, I encourage you to get a copy of the book if you haven't already, read it and see what he's talking about.
And I'll just say this, if the Reagan White House had a copy, of a Cosmic Conspiracy, the Duke of Edinburgh had a copy of Cosmic Conspiracy. Here's my question to you. Why don't you have a copy of Cosmic Conspiracy, folks? It's a sales pitch. Yeah, it is. But you know what? The information in there. I've got to say, Stan, the information in that book, it's one of my favorite books. It's one of my favorite resource books. I don't know how you did it, but you did a really great job of like putting everything together in Cosmic Conspiracy. And I appreciate that. So, that's not a sales pitch. That's just a fact. So Cosmic Conspiracy, folks, go to standale.com. Order the book, please. Order the book because would it be a fair statement to say that I think some of the things you wrote in the book, you're going to be seeing soon. I mean, we're already seeing a lot, but you're going to be seeing even more. It's kind of a roadmap to what happens next, in a sense.
Yes. I do quote sources there, you know, the telling about the New World Order. And remember, this is in 1978 when the first edition came out. Now, I updated it in 2010, where I added something about the biblical forecast in the book of Daniel. about what the Antichrist is going to do in this time and the use of, foreign technology or alien technology and weapons. So anyway, I surprised myself when I look at it and found out the names and organizations of people that listen to the book. Some of the guys are dead now in the great circle of, illumination that are trying to form this world government. But understand they've been working on this since, before 1900. It's been a generational issue in the major, rich, power players of the whole planet. Now, China's a weak link. They have not really, been brought into this global plan. And that they're going to break the global plan, in the War of Armageddon. But with that said, all these things that I wrote in the book are coming true, and now very rapidly. It's been a subtle overthrow of the Western world and of freedom and capitalism. As I said, this far and no farther.
I love that, how you put that together, this far and no farther. And I think that because our first hour was, that's kind of what we were discussing, where's the line? Where's each one of us has a line? Where's our line? And I know that we base, in addition to the Constitution, the Holy Bible, the Christian Bible tells us what our line, to hold that line and defend that line. But, I think, Stan, we've got about 12 minutes, 14 minutes left, just so you know. We're fast approaching having to make some decisions about defending that line, I believe, and each one of us individually, and the world or the Christian world collectively. So I won't ramble anymore, but yes. And Cosmic Conspiracy again, folks, as well as Dare to Prepare and everything at standale.com. Please take a look, including the EMP shield. I got to tell you. And real quick, I just got to do this real quick, Stan. Folks, go to the satellite phone store. Go to HagmanReport.com and make sure you get a hold of a satellite phone, because there's communication, concerns, obviously. Cell phones, landlines, not going to work. Satellite phones will. At satellite phone store, go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link, satellitephonestore.com. All right, Stan. Back to you, sir.
All right. Well, a bit on my family. My mom was raised a Baptist, Christian, and, later years, joined a Messianic fellowship, Jewish Christian type fellowship. And so did Dad. My brothers and my sister, my brother Glenn's a surgeon. He's a very active Christian witness. And, my sister Mary, she's in a congregation where they are, doing all kinds of good work in the community, Christians again. And my brother James married a Chinese lady, Carmen, and they have been in
Hong Kong.
Oh, well, she's from Hong Kong, yeah, but they live in Guangdong now. Reason I bring this up is because of what's in slide 74. The communists are handling the Christians in China rather roughly. They are being brought into mobile transformation or reprogramming facilities run by the Chinese Communist Party, where they are being coerced into renouncing their faith. Now, James and his wife, Carmen, there in Guangdong, they wrote to my brother, Glenn, and said, look, we're in a bit of trouble here, it looks like. We know they've been arresting people and taking them to these retraining centers. And there's a man that's been standing outside our apartment here now for several days, keeping an eye on us. And they've already arrested two house groups close to us here to do this retraining. So, Glenn and I tried to talk him into leaving. There was no issue about money because we could supply that and housing for them. But he said, no, I set out to do this, to witness to these people here that need the witness. And so I'm going to stay. And if you knew James, when he says that, he means that. So pray for my brother James and his wife, Carmen. They're going to need protection for sure.
Thank God for people like your brother James. And folks, please, as Stan said, please pray for him, pray for his daily protection and success, and make him invisible to the enemy.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's
witnessing.
I shouldn't be lighthearted this about James, but as a boy, when he was old, maybe about 8 years old, he was at home with mom, of course, and dad, and mom told me a story about what happened, and I think this may have a lot to do with him being a missionary in China, because there was this series of hedges outside mom's bedroom window that right next to where she had a rocking chair when she was taking time off to rest, and she could look out that window and down underneath the hedges there next to the window, and she'd told Jimmy, James, not to play there because of insects and things and spiders. Well, sure enough, on this particular day, Jimmy had gone under the bushes right underneath there and had forgot that mom's window was right above him. And he didn't realize she knew he was there. So she makes her best low-toned voice, imitating that of God. And she says, "What are you doing there? Get out of there." And he says, "Who's that?" She says, "This is God. Move." Well, he shot out of there like somebody put him in a cannon, blasted him out, came around the front door, running in, out of breath, into the kitchen. Of course, he was in the kitchen by now, like nothing had happened. And he says, she says, "Anything wrong?" He says, no, and went about his business. Needless to say, he didn't spend much time after that underneath the hitch by the window. And I suspect that influenced his desire to be a missionary by the acts of God over in China. He's a good boy.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And it's, I've gotten, I know people out over in China that are engaged in that same type of work, missionaries. And you know, we have to keep all of them in our prayers. And what a nasty, to think that, stand to think that we have communist Chinese party influence in our government, that we've sold out to the Communist Chinese Party, and they're doing this to Christians over there. It's, to me, it's only a matter of time before it happens here.
Understood. Yeah. So even though he's there in the middle of it, we're here just about to be in the middle of it. So pray for the American Christian Church as well.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's something. And do you think... you had mentioned at the beginning of the show that you believed, and as I do, that we have been infiltrated, that the resident in the Oval Office obviously was not elected. And I believe the same thing. I believe it was a coup by the Five Eyes, including our own intelligence agencies. Is there an end game? I mean, do you think that this is, Never mind. I guess it's just, you know, it hurts your brain. It hurts my brain to think about that, you know, to think about what has happened. And I'll go back to Cosmic Conspiracy, because it reminds me of certain paragraphs in Cosmic Conspiracy where you lay out some stuff. And I'll be vague on that, but, folks, make sure you get Cosmic Conspiracy, please. Go ahead.
You know, yeah. George Soros is behind a lot of this, and funding a lot of the organizations that are communist and overthrow governments in various European countries. And now they're trying to do it here, and pretty close to doing it. What is the end game? Well, Soros, typically he goes into a country he wants to overthrow, and he places his people, paid people, on either side of a conflict, politically or religiously, so that no matter which side wins in a civil war, he has somebody on the executive team that will take over the country or retain control of the country either way. So here you can expect that what will probably happen one way or another is that we will have a civil war between those of us that think that the White House position was stolen by an invading force, the communists. You'll probably have a civil war based on skin color and on religion. There will be a multifaceted civil war. If it doesn't happen, then we'll all be slaves of this and be very unhappy, and there will still be conflict in the streets. With this outcome of this coming Chauvin trial result, we're going to probably see one way or the other, doesn't matter, strikes and and roving gangs and stuff, terrorists across the United States causing damage for no reason at all, it would appear. This may be the trigger that starts the public saying, this far, no farther. You're not going to burn my building, my business. You're not going to, you know, hurt my home and people. And it'll be a grassroots level that will be organized in various ways by, you know, maybe military, you know, helping us out, things like that. I mean, it's just my suggestion, maybe. But we're going to have to come to a point where we deal with this problem, where we face it and either solve it, you know, beat it, or succumb to it, you know, and die. We're there. And this is a classic pattern of communist takeover. You had the reds and the whites in the Soviet state and the communist takeover of Russia. And the reds, of course, are the bad guys.
Yeah. And you know, yesterday I played, and it's attached to the, it's a 49-minute segment that I did yesterday. I played a video of the 1967, the summer of 1967, the riots that took place there, and the political commentary and the assessment, the analysis of that. 126 cities in 1967 were, they had riots, including the city that I live in right now. And the common thread throughout all of that was the communist element. So when you look at that, 1967, as reported in 1968, and then you look at 1992, how that the Rodney King riots were hijacked into the or by the communist element, and you look at what's happening today. I said earlier, the only thing that's changed in the videos when the signs are shown, you know, the store signs, is the price of gasoline, cigarettes, and, you know, stuff. Everything else has pretty much remained the same. And this is the long game that you reference. No matter what happens with the Chauvin verdict, it's going to get really ugly. And one last thing. In 2013, I did a piece. I was told by somebody within DHS that, look, you know, the government at the time, which was who Obama, wanted a civil war. And I was mocked and ridiculed for that. Glenn Beck read my piece on air. But again, I was mocked and ridiculed for what I said. I think maybe the timing might have been off a little bit, but now here we are. So I'll shut up now.
Yeah. Well, that's all. Yeah. I mean, I want to do one thing here about the season of the year we're in. You know, I like the rapture concept. I believe in it. And whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, or whatever, I'm reasonably certain it's going to happen in the time of the year that we have the Pesach, the Passover, and the 49 days after that, where they say counting the Omer. And you can look that up on the, you know, Wikipedia. Look, it's the Omer, O-M-E-R, the counting the Omer. And so Holly and I put a lighted candle like the bride does when she's waiting for the groom. We put that in the nighttime hours up to midnight on the dining room table with the window open, or, you know, the blind up, saying, Lord, here we are. Hineni, Hineni. And it helps us to focus on the fact that the Lord may be coming in this season for us.
Well, I hope that I am found worthy. And Stan, I know your beliefs, you feel the same way. And I want to thank you so much. I appreciate you being back. It's so good to have you back, my friend. It really is.
Good to be back.
All right. We're out of time. Stan Dale, standale.com, folks, please make sure you support Stan and Holly. My EMP or empshield.com. That's empshield.com. Make sure you're shored up with an EMP shield. And I'm not kidding about his book, Stan Dale's book, Cosmic Conspiracy. I'm not kidding about that. What a great read that is. And if it's good enough for the Reagan White House as well as the Duke of Edinburgh, and I know I'm mispronouncing that, it's good enough for us. And I really do like that book. It contains a lot of great information. from 78 through the present in terms of collection of research. Folks, bookmark HagmanReport.com. Make sure you follow us on Rumble. I'm not going to tell you again. Don't make me come down there. Okay, so follow us on Rumble and Brighteon. All right. Bookmark HagmanReport.com. HagmanStore.com for some gourmet coffee. With that, I've got to go. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night.